Where do you buy food around here? Is there a Makola nearby? Points on this sheet here. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah? Okay. The first question is, what is the point of Dayenu? Meaning, why do we say that Dayenu, if Hashem had basically taken us out of Egypt, but he hadn't punished the Egyptians or their gods, or killed the firstborn, if you look at the sheet, or lo natan lanu et mamonam, or not given us their money, or not basically split the sea for us, if he hadn't done all these things, but he had done some of the things, it would have been enough. It would have been Dayenu. What does that mean? And why is that true? Anybody know? Any guesses before we go straight into the answers here?
It would have been enough to thank him.
Okay, good. So you already got the second answer. There's a first answer first, which I don't know what it means, but maybe he means the same thing as you're saying. It's possible. Look at source number one. Mishiboy Halakit. So he says, Ilo Hotsianu, Hayam Neis Gadol. Meaning, if Hashem had just taken us out of Egypt, but he hadn't punished them and punished their firstborn and split the sea, it would have been a great miracle. V'hayad dialon, it would have been enough for us. K'mepurash Bagdara, as it says in Bagdara, Shaloha Yerui Latseis, that we've learned this already before, that the Jews were not actually, they weren't worthy enough to leave Egypt by themselves. Hetha Midat Hadin Mekatrega Alein, because the Midat Hadin, okay, that the Hashem's aspect of judgment was basically saying against the Jewish people, they don't deserve it. Eilu Avodei Zarah, they will be able to Zarah. The Egyptians worship idols, and the Jews worship idols. Why in the world do the Jews merit to be redeemed from Egypt if they're just as bad as the Egyptians? Okay, you remember this. We discussed this before, okay? We said that they did have certain merits among them. But in terms of, like, the basic point, it's still, like, really they weren't worthy. Really they shouldn't have been able to leave according to this. So if that's true, what he's saying is that it's a neis gadol, it's a great miracle that Hashem took us out of Egypt because we weren't worthy. So that's very nice. Bahayat dialon. The question is, what did that mean? It would have been enough for us. Would it really have been enough for us to just take us out of Egypt and say, okay, guys, have a nice life, right? You're off in the desert by yourself. That's enough, right? It's hard to understand what that means. What does that mean? So, it could be what Eliana said. That's very, very possible that he means the next source, which is number two. Anybody have any suggestions what he might mean by this? That it would be a neis gadol, it would have been enough for us, had dialon, if Hashem had just taken us out but not split the sea, if Hashem had split the sea but not, you know, taken us into the desert, all those kind of things. Any other ideas what that might mean?
It would have been enough for us to, like,
okay, that's an interesting idea. That would have been enough for us to believe in Hashem. And it would have been, what he says, a great miracle. That would have been enough of a reason not necessarily to thank him, but to realize that Hashem is great, Hashem is in charge. Okay, that's very nice. I like that. It's a good idea. Okay, good. Anybody else? Okay, so the Malvin in source number two basically says what you said. Is it al kol shalav shekazeh dayenu lehodot? For every step along the way, not that it would have been enough for us, that Hashem would have abandoned us in the desert and not taken us through or not given us the Torah or whatever it is, not that that would have been enough to leave us there without the next step, but each step along the way would have been enough to thank Hashem, because each miracle by itself is big enough to thank Hashem just for that miracle alone. Okay, so that's the idea that I thought was, you know, I thought of myself, this idea of the Malbim. I think it's very, very nice that in order to thank Hashem, every step along the way you got to thank Hashem. Okay? Good, that's a nice idea. Rav Rimon comes along in source number three and says that it's not just that. That goes even farther. Look what he says here, and then see if you can figure out the rest of it on your own. Nira kipir de ba'olam deno shekol shalav chashuv. He says, maybe this idea of Dayenu comes to teach us that every single stage along the way is chashuv, is important. Kol shalav talich gula yisrael, every stage of the process of the redemption of the Jewish people, hu ba'al mashmaut, is very significant. U'mosif roved mashmaut tibit kadmut ha'gula. And add, basically, an additional significant important stage and layer in the process of advancing the gula, of advancing the redemption. Okay, not just the result of the gula, the actual redemption is important. Dayenu teaches us that even the process, every step is also important, even without the actual gula. So now, this is, I think, is a very nice idea. Again, this is a development of the Malbim's idea that we should thank Hashem for every stage and realize that Dayenu, every stage along by itself, is good. How do you think that Rimon is going to apply that to today's times? Not just from Egypt, but also today, here in our times, in the 21st century, and modern day Medina Israel. What do you think he's going to say? What would you say if you were giving a bar color and wanted to make this into a nice idea of celebrating modern day Israel? I'm sure you guys could figure this out.
Thank God for having Israel now and everything we have now, even though the redemption hasn't come.
Excellent. Thanks, Alyssa. Okay, so that's basically the point. Do we have Mashiach yet? Do we have Beit HaMikdash yet? No, but the point is that even Medina Israel today, okay, and this obviously is a nice idea, by the way, for Yom HaSmot, if you want to use a nice idea for the Yom HaSmot from the Haggadah, so this is a very, very, very nice idea that Yom HaAtzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim are stages along the way to the final Geula. We hope. I don't know 100%, but most probably this is, you know, this is where we're going. It might take another 100 years to get there. We don't really know. But the point is, every stage is very, very, very important. Okay. And even though, again, as many people will say, well, they deny Yisrael, well, they do bad things to the Jews, they're anti-Haredim, and it's harder, we have too many terrorist attacks, and no, this is not going anywhere, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and the Kofrim and the Tzionim are bad, and, you know, we don't see anything, nothing is moving, you know, it's just annoying to be here, it's difficult, there's too much bureaucracy. But if you look at it this way, then you see it's very, very important. Okay, every stage along the way, regardless of, you know, how far along you are, you have to realize it's an important stage, and you got to thank Hashem for it. Very important. That's what he says here. Look at the next line. Zachinu Mizareinu, when they Kadosh Shal Shivat Am La'aretz, we've been married in our generation to this great miracle of the Jewish people returning to that land, the Kibbutz Nidchei Yisrael, and basically the ingathering of the exiles. Okay, we talk about Kibbutz Galiot every day. We daven for Shmoneh Esrei, and look, it's happening. They're all coming. Everybody's coming here. Okay, not everybody right away, but every year more people are coming. It's amazing. Imzot Adayin Yisham Kashim. There's still a lot of difficulties here. Lo Ma'atim, not a small amount of difficulties. Uzmanim shall kosheyu bilbulan, times of difficulty and bilbulan and confusion. But he says, Awan lichtor b'tzavat Hashem. We shouldn't deny the goodness of Hashem. Rak mikiran shalom v'inim ketar ha-metziur ha-nochit to be able to gula shleima, just because we don't understand how it's happening out there today and why we have all these stabbings and why all these things are happening. We don't know how that's going to bring the geula. We don't understand that. That's not a reason to deny the good that Hashem gives us. Tzrichim l'skor ki yesh lo do Hashem. We have to remember that we have to thank Hashem of kol shalav v'shalav for every single stage. Ula amin, and to believe ki nizgev ha-shalana geula, that we're going to merit the completion of the geula ha-shalav and the herbi amin amin. So that's the point of Dayenu according to this, which I think is beautiful, a really important and beautiful idea, that Dayenu teaches you that every step along the way, even when the Jews left Egypt, before they crossed the sea, crossing the sea before they got the Torah, whatever the other ones are here, the fact that if they didn't get Shabbos, the Mon, before they got the Mon, every step along the way was important by itself, even without the next step. And every step along the way, number one, they have to say thank you. And number two, they have to realize that each step is another step along the way to the redemption and getting to Eretz Yisrael. Even if they didn't get there yet, and they don't understand how they're going to get there and when they're going to get there, maybe it's going to take 40 years. But if they realize that every step is important and another stage building on the stage before it, then they can recognize all the good things that Hashem did for them. And that is definitely an important idea today that we have and we live, basically, in our generation. Which again sometimes creates difficulty, but to remember this idea and to thank Hashem for what we do have today and hope that we'll get more. I think it's a really, really important point. Any comments? Okay. Again, you can remember that bar Torah both for Pesach and also for Yom HaAtzmaut if you need something nice. It's a very, very nice idea. Okay. Next point. All right. Karwan Latayam. We say that if Hashem basically had given us the Egyptians money, but he hadn't split the sea for us, it would have been enough. So, the first thing you could say, if you talk about whether that would be enough to thank Hashem, then I guess it makes sense. Hashem would have given us their money, but he wouldn't have split the sea for us, so he still should have thanked Hashem for that. But if you say that it means that, well, it means that it would have been enough, that it would have been fine, and we'd be happy if we got the money, even if Hashem didn't split the sea for us, we would have been happy. How does it make sense? We wouldn't have gotten out of Egypt. They would have killed us all. How does that mean that we would have? How would that have been enough? So, if you take that approach, anybody have any ideas what that might mean? What would have happened had Hashem not split the sea? Probably would have died, right? So then what's going on here? Meaning, thank Hashem, that I understand, that makes sense. But if you say, like what the Shibboleth HaLeket might be saying, which is that it would have been enough for us, that would have been fine, we'd be happy with that alone, it's a little hard to understand.
Maybe he had said this in some way that
wasn't
miraculous?
Okay, so Eliana is saying something similar to what the Orach HaChaim says here in the source number 4. Which is, he doesn't say exactly what it is, but basically any method of saving us without going through the Red Sea. I mean, maybe there might have been another way that Hashem could have saved us that doesn't involve splitting the sea. Look at source number 4. Kilomer Shahaya Yachol HaTzivenu Shenelich B'Derech Acher. We could have gone in a different way. We could have gone on a different journey, a different path. So that's sort of what you're saying. The question is, what does that mean? What would have been a different path? How would that have worked? Where would we have gone? What? How?
I don't think it was
directed. You might be right, but you just have to think a little bit more about what that means. What'd you think?
It wasn't even directed on our process also.
Oh, excellent. So I wish we had a math.
Maybe
I'm sure
it would
be
our question.
So that's one thing. But that already Hashem said he wasn't going to do because it was too dangerous. Meaning because the Jews might get scared, they might go back to Egypt. Once they're going the way around, the question is there another way that they could have done it? And if we had a map here, I'd try to show you, but I don't think there's a map here. So we'll have to try to do this. by ourselves. So you're right. Basically, the seed was actually not exactly on their way. Anybody remember how this works? It's clearly on their way, but it wasn't exactly. You have to forgive my lack of artistic quality when it comes to making maps here. I'll try to. Okay, this is okay. How does this work? Like this, sort of. And this is the Mediterranean Sea here. And this is Israel. How does this work here? Let's say that this is Israel. This is Sinai Desert. This is Egypt. This is Israel. And the Red Sea is like down here somewhere. Is that how it works? And this is down, sorry, this is here. This is way too big. Sorry, I told you I'm not very good at this. Let's try this again. Probably have to do something like this. Like this, maybe? Anyway, better at this than I am.
And this is
what did you say? Fine. Anyway, if you guys want to just look at it on your phone, you can take a look at the map, basically. This is terrible. This is really not working. Basically, this is the Red Sea, and this is, like, Egypt over here. Okay, something like that. And this is the Red Sea. So basically, they're over here somewhere. This is, like, near Goshen or Cairo or wherever, somewhere nearby. It's, like, over here. So basically, what does it mean? Basically, they crossed the Red Sea somewhere over here. The question is, where are they going to cross the Red Sea? You can look at your map and try to figure this out also. Where are they going to cross the Red Sea? Do they go across this way and go this way? Or do they go across somewhere like up here? Anybody know? Maybe. So take a look here. Again, this map is terrible, but you'll get the idea. Look at source number 4, source number 5 in the Ibn Ezra. I cannot say everybody agrees with this, but this is definitely one of the solid explanations. It is Yisrael lo avru hayam kineged harochav rak nichnasu be'orach v'yatzu al midbar shura asher nichnasu b'sham kasher afarish. You know what he means? What's rochav and orach first? What do those words mean? Yeah, width and length, okay? What's he saying? They didn't go across the width, but they went in the length. And they went to midbar shura. Anybody have any clue what that means? Basically, the width is this way. This is width. Rochav is across. And length is this way. Okay, up and down. So what are the measures talking about here? Anything? Again, look at your phone, look at whatever, if you have a better map, or you can look at it another time. Basically, you're saying they didn't go across this way. Instead, they went here, and they went like this way, straight up to like over here, and they went around like that. Anybody familiar with this idea? Have you ever heard this before? No. Okay. It's really interesting. Okay, again, I cannot say every single parish agrees with this, but this is definitely one of the very prominent perushim in the farshim and in some of the midrashim as well. What does that mean? It means basically that what they did is they basically made a half arc in the sea. They went like out here, and they went across up here, and they went around. So did they have to cross the sea then, according to that? Maybe not. Why? So according to this is what one of you said before also, maybe what they could have done is they could have gone. Did they have to cross the sea? Hashem could have taken them this way, right? He could have gone around the sea. Instead, they went like this, which maybe cut a little bit of distance, made it a little faster, but they probably didn't need to do that. They could have gone like this.
Isn't there still a gap between
this and Mitzrayim? Again, this is terrible. This is Mitzrayim. This is like the Sinai Desert, and this is like Eretz Yisrael up here, and this is the other side of
the Red Sea. Where's the opposite?
This is the opposite, this whole thing over here.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you understand?
They didn't.
I'm really sorry, I don't have a map here. If you have a dot. It seems they could have just walked around. This, by the way, explains a few different things. If you look at the code in source number 6, I'm not going to read the whole thing, so I haven't seen much time. I'm going to read the whole thing. But basically, you could see a couple of important points from here. He says first in the Gemara, "Kishem shanu olin mitzadet, kach mitzrayim olin mitzadacher." Okay, you guys remember with that statement? I think Rashi brings it down also. That the Jews said, they might have said, like, had they not seen the dead bodies of the Egyptians, the Jews would have said, oh, well, how do we know they're dead? Maybe they're just like, we're coming out over here, the Egyptians are coming out somewhere else. You guys familiar with that statement? Have you heard it before? No? Okay, I think it's in Rashi and Parshas B'Shalach, but it's from the Gemara. So he says, what does that mean? So Tosafot says, Yomer Rebbe v'shem Aviv Rabbi Shmuel, she'yisrael lo avru hayam l'rachavo mitzad deladeh. Same thing as Ibn Ezra. They didn't go across. She'im kein hayim amarim l'achad l'Eretz Yisrael. Okay, they would have gone too fast to get to Eretz Yisrael. They went this way, which again is another, not for now, another interesting point. El retzua achat avru bayam l'orech hayam. They basically went on one little strip next to the sea and in the sea, lengthwise over here, until they went to the desert, like over here, that in that direction. Okay. This is what they mean when the Jews said, or they would have said, that just like we're coming out over here and we're coming to the desert, kach Mitzrayim olim mitzad achem min hamidbar. They're coming out a different way to the desert. V'yirdevu acharenu, they're going to chase after us. V'yasigu, and they're going to reach us. Kisvurim shalo yavra mitzrayim bayam. The Egyptians didn't have to go in the sea to catch the Jewish people. Elavu mitzad acher. They could come from a different place. Meaning what? I mean, we always think, well, the Jews crossed over here to here, and that's how the Egyptians had to cross, and in order to get across, basically they couldn't get across, but Hashem knocked the sea back down on them. He brought the sea back down. But if basically the Egyptians hadn't crossed, they would have been stuck here. I mean, they couldn't have gotten across to chase the Jews. But Tosfos is saying what the Gemara means is no. They went this way. The Jews went up here to the top part, and the Egyptians, in order to chase the Jews, would not have actually had to go into the sea. They could have just gone around and followed them on the side of the desert, and then caught them right over here, following this way. It's fascinating, right? That's what he says what they mean. Okay? Would you say? A little slower, but how fast do you think the Jews went, and how fast do you think Paro's chariots with his fast horses went? You know, much, much faster, probably. So I think it definitely could have been. And then he says, it says in Bamidbar, in Parshat Maaseh, Vayitzu Mimara, Vayachanu Al Yam Suf. In the middle of the travels the Jews have in Parshat Maaseh, they said there's like 49 stops. And one of the stops in the middle says they went from Mara, they went to Yam Suf. He says, wait a second, Avru Rocha Vayam Ad Ever Hayam, but if they just crossed over the sea, went from here to here, and went this way, how could they come back to Yam Suf after they already left the sea and went this way? Doesn't make any sense. He says, it must be they went this way, and they went around, and when they went around, they came back to Yam Suf somewhere over here. Very, very interesting. Okay? You can skip a couple lines here. Then just skip to the line which is underlined there. I'm going to just read that one. Where he says, basically what they did is they went, he describes the direction of the south and the north, and basically they went this way to the north. Basically what they did in the sea, according to Tosfos, is they went like this. They went up like this and around. Okay, like a half circle. You understand? They went into the sea, and again, according to some Midrashim, they had 10-12 different, you know, paths for each tribe, and they went around, and a half circle went back over here. You understand? Everybody see what Tosfos is saying? You understand what he's saying? They went into the sea, but they didn't actually go across. They just went like a little bit in, and then around here. And one of the points also this explains, I don't remember if he mentions this here, but I think he does say it. How did the Egyptians surround the Jews? Okay, remember that it says that the Jews couldn't move, they couldn't go either direction because they were surrounded by the water and by the Egyptians coming on this side, and one. How does that make sense? I mean, if you said they were going across, and they're over here, why can't the Jews just run this way or run that way? So what it must have been, basically, is like a little protrusion of the land into the sea. Again, it's hard to mess over here. Basically, if you look over here, let's say it was like this. So this is the sea, and this is the land. And the land, like, jumped out like this sort of. Okay? And like, this is the sea, and this is the land. They went over here, you see? So let's say they were here, something like this. So basically, they're stuck. They can't go backwards because the Egyptians are coming from here. And they can't go this way because this is the sea, and they can't go that way because that's the sea. So they're stuck, and that's why they basically have to go like this. You understand? Or maybe like this. But at least, you know, either way, like that. That to explain that also, other than saying the Jews could have just run this way or run that way, it makes sense why they were able to be caught in by the Egyptians coming here and by the sea on the other two sides. Okay? So it makes a lot of sense, this idea. Okay? Understand? There's one big question on this whole thing. It's a very, very basic question. Let me figure out what it might be. Meaning, if this is all true, it's all very nice. Right. Meaning, this is all very nice, but if the point was to go like this and just come back over here, why in the world did Hashem have to do it this way? Why couldn't he just take the Jews, go this way, and the Egyptians would follow them, and at some point Hashem would just kill the Egyptians? Okay? Meaning, what was the point? I don't know about that. I'm not sure really how that would work. But basically, the question is just why did they have to cross the sea? Meaning, why does he have to get across in order to go like this? Why couldn't they just, you know, go right up? So that's really the big question. What was the point of this whole exercise? Why did they have to do this? So, anybody have any ideas what the answer might be? What did they gain by this if it wasn't necessary? Think about it in terms of what we've been talking about, in terms of Hashem showing us miracles and stuff like that. What do you think the answer might be?
I think the Jewish people that Hashem was, and how much he was on their side.
I think that's it. Okay, as opposed to what we say, think about this for a minute. We think originally, like we would think that, well, the reason why Hashem, we crossed the sea is because we had to cross the sea. Hashem made a miracle because we had no other way to get across in order to keep going the way that Hashem chose for us to go. But according to this whole idea, what seems to be happening, and I think, by the way, I think this is in the Haggadah Hagyon HaHalacha, I'm not sure, but I think he mentioned this. If not, somebody else does. Basically, what happened was Hashem made the whole thing happen with the Yom Suf to go in simply in order to show the Jews the miracle. So the Jews should see the miracle of Kriya Yamsuf. And Kriya Yamsuf didn't have to happen. But it happened because Hashem wanted to show us how great the miracle would be that He would redeem us from Egypt with tremendous miracles. So He made this whole thing where the Jews would come in here and be forced into a corner and have to daven Hashem, and then to split the sea so that they would go around and they would see this great miracle of the splitting of the sea. And then they would see this great miracle that the Egyptians followed them into the sea. So the Egyptians followed them in here, and then Hashem put the sea back on top of them and killed them through the sea. So based on that was exactly the point, to show them the great miracle of splitting the sea for them, and that the sea also punished the Egyptians at the same time. Okay, which is a tremendous, tremendous miracle. And according to this, the whole reason why it happened was to show that point. Did it have to happen that way? No. He didn't have to do that. But Hashem did it because He wanted to show us, for B'nai Yisrael to realize this idea of what Hashem is doing for them. Again, I think this is a very, very interesting idea. That would be basically the way to understand what's going on here with the splitting of the sea. Have you had any questions or thoughts about that? Interesting? Makes sense? I think it's not what you would have thought originally, but there's definitely a lot of forces that seem to go in this direction, which seem to be, you know, saying that this is something which is very, 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 very possible that this is what happens. Okay. All right, last point. We have to finish up here, so 10:20. Last one, what's the point? Iluk Kervat al Tanar Sinai, Hashem brought us in front of Har Sinai, but He didn't give us the Torah, Dayeda. What does that mean? How would it have been enough? Why would we have thanked Hashem for bringing us to Har Sinai and not giving us the Torah? Why would that make sense? So you look very quickly here. There's three summarized points here in source number 7. The Rashbam says, Maharut Baruch Kvodo, to show us His glory, Hashem's glory. The Shibbol HaLeket says, He showed us His Shechina, ayin ba'ayin, eye for eye. We heard His voice. Nobody else ever heard Hashem's voice. We heard His voice on Har Sinai from part of the commandments. And the Sfat Emet says, the idea is Hachanol Matan Torah, that the point of coming to Har Sinai, even without getting the Torah, was the preparation for Torah. That we receive the Koach HaPnimi, the inner strength, and the soul strength, HaNafshi, L'Kabel Et HaTorah, to receive the Torah. That by itself is important. The question is why? Meaning, why are those things important if we didn't actually get the Torah? Who cares? We see God, or God shows us, He gives us His, to hear God, or the idea of getting the power to receive the Torah. Why is that important without the actual Torah itself? So, you know, I'll give you more time to answer, but to finish up. Basically, I think the idea here is that even just getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even without the Torah itself, is considered to be an important level. Okay? The idea that sometimes you have an event, right? A very, very powerful event, a very inspirational event that you went to. You may not have learned anything there, and it may not have been like something which was like, you know, wow, I learned something I never knew before. But if you have an event where everybody gets together, let's say like, you know, Birkat Kohanim at the Kotel, or Siyum HaShas, if everyone went to the Siyum HaShas. Let's say you don't learn a thing at the Siyum HaShas. If anybody was there, I was there, 90,000 people in New Jersey. An amazing event. Let's say I didn't learn a thing, let's say. But what was so special about it was the power of the idea of feeling, wow, I feel like this is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm gaining the inspiration of being close to Him, or an idea of everybody coming together. So maybe that's what he means here, the idea of the glory of Hashem, or seeing Hashem, or the idea of the spiritual powers in order to make yourself prepared for getting the Torah. Those are all important that lead to your Yirat Hashem, to getting closer to Hashem, or to feeling, you know, the spirituality. That's important even if you don't actually have the Torah there. Even if it's not an experience of learning, they didn't actually get the Torah, but the idea that we feel, oh wow, there is God, and God is great, and we feel close to Him as a people, and we can fear Him, we can love Him, that by itself is an important stage along the way, which I think is a very, very important point for us also, that not every single thing is sitting in a classroom and learning. Even your experiences in seminary and wherever else, where you're out there, but you feel like it's inspiring, and it's great, and it's really causing you to grow as a person, that's also important, even if it's not actually something, you know, intellectual type of learning. So that's what I would say for all these three ideas here. I think that that's where that's the idea of Kervan with Nehra Sinai without actually getting the Torah. Okay, sorry, I rushed a little bit at the end here. Any comments or questions?